Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Raines. And today we're taking a look at three stocks to consider buying at rather substantial discounts heading into September and beyond. But before we get into everything, remember to subscribe and leave a review wherever you're listening to your podcasts. And make sure to check out our new Zacks.com/promo page for a look into some of our services, portfolios, and more. So before we jump into the three stocks to consider buying for December, I want to take a quick and broad view of the market before we do that. So stocks obviously bounced back on Monday following Friday's big new COVID variant focus sell-off. We're going to probably see variants continue to pop up in the coming months and years. The quick pullback was really driven by real fears and lower holiday volume last Friday. And then we saw that Monday rally followed up by a so far midday through Tuesday, a huge downturn with the NASDAQ down 1.8%, the S&P 500 down 1.7%, and the Dow also down 1.7% as of around midday on Tuesday. This is another drop on the same headline worries of that Omicron variant and Powell's warnings about the possibilities of it causing more supply chain bottlenecks and then therefore more rising prices and higher inflation, which is now the worry for everyone at the moment, as it has been for the last several months. With that in mind, the S&P 500 has now fallen below neutral RSI level, so we can continue to see a drop that could be, if we keep falling over the next couple of days, maybe we'll see buyers jump back in as the market's been pretty bullish and traded around some technical levels recently. So we were at oversold levels earlier this month, and now we've fallen rather quickly over the last several sessions from around overbought to below neutral. So as we get closer to those oversold levels, you might see more and more people jump back in. So broadly, though, the bulls have still been in control. New COVID strains are likely here to stay, and investors and consumers have largely proven that they are willing to focus on signs of progress in favor of those fears. Despite these huge drops, this could just be healthy selling. The market's been on a massive run for well over a year and a half. This includes a huge run off those October lows when things got a little oversold. So it's worth constantly remembering that these healthy selling spits, even if it's huge 2% drops in a day, that means the faster it falls, the faster it's likely to come back. And they're really aspects of all well-functioning markets. So looking back, investors helped wash away those losses from September and early October. That downturn in a matter of weeks. And the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ are both trading above their 50-day moving averages. Though if we continue to fall, we could see those levels tested again. And there could certainly be more selling even after today. Profit-taking, any excuse to sell, this is a good time to take some money off the table. Luckily, the positive backdrop for stocks remain in place, even in the face of all of the broader worries of supply chain bottlenecks, rising prices, difficulty filling millions of jobs. First off, interest rates will remain historically low for the foreseeable future, no matter when the Fed starts to lift that core rate off those rock bottom levels. So even if Powell and the Fed are forced to start to lift rates amid rising inflation, they will continue to favor stocks for the foreseeable future. Second, the S&P 500 earnings picture remains strong, and we saw U.S. consumer spending was really solid in October, which is a great sign for the pivotal holiday shopping period, which we are in at the moment. So with all of this in mind, we're going to take a look at a few stocks to consider buying for December and beyond that are trading at solid discounts to where they were. The first stock we're going to focus on is Darden Restaurants, which trades in the ticker DRI. The company is a dine-in restaurant chain standout with brands that include Olive Garden and Longhorn Steakhouse, Yard House, Capital Grill. So some, you could call them higher-end chains of, as bad as it sounds, sort of middle America restaurants. The company's portfolio includes over 1,800 restaurants in total, and it continues to expand. So that sit-down dining powerhouse obviously was hit far worse than the likes of Chipotle and other eateries that were way more accustomed to takeout during the early parts of COVID. So its revenue was down big. Obviously, during that period. Luckily, Darden returned to growth in Q4 of its FY 2021, and it followed it up with solid top and bottom line beats in the first quarter of FY 2022, which was the period ended on August 29th. It also provided upbeat guidance at the time. And the U.S. economic reopening has really helped the Olive Garden owner rebound in a really big way as people clamor to return to their pre-pandemic lives. And despite headlines, it seems like people are willing to continue to pour back into things they were doing before, like shopping in person and eating out at restaurants. So last quarter, its total sales increased 51% from the year ago period. Obviously, that's against an easy to compare period to about $2.3 billion. Driven by a blended same restaurant sales increase of 48%. This also saw the company add 34 new net restaurants during the quarter. Out of all of their businesses, they break down. So Olive Garden was up 37%, Longhorn was up 47%. Its fine dining unit, which includes some other places, was up 85%, and its quote, other businesses were up 66%. So looking ahead, we're calling for the company's current full year revenue to climb 33% all the way up to about $9.5 billion and then climb another 6.2% next year. This revenue would mark by far its largest growth as a public firm, and the company went public in the mid-1990s. And it would also see it climb well above its pre-pandemic levels of about $8.5 billion. Which is a great sign and shows just how willing and obviously able people are to dive back into these restaurants and spend a lot of money. So that's a good sign. And then on the bottom line, we're calling for its adjusted earnings to climb 77% this year and then another nearly 11% next year, all the way up to $8.41 per share. We've also seen the company's overall adjusted earnings estimates climb since its last earnings release. And the company has also beat our bottom line estimates by an average of 15% in the last four quarters. And overall, the stock is up about 24% in the last year to easily outpace its broader industry, which is up about 5%. And over the last 5 years, the stock's up about 80% to also outpace that industry's roughly 60% climb. That said, the stock has seen some selling recently along with the broader market, and it was stuck in between a channel between its 50 and 200-day moving averages, and it has slipped below its 200-day moving average recently, which is obviously not a great sign, but if you're a long-term investor, you don't need to be as worried about that. We saw the stock fall about 3.5% through midday trading on Tuesday. This has also, though, pushed it near oversold RSI levels at 35, and its current Zacks consensus price target marks nearly 25% upside to its current levels. The stock's also trading at a big discount to, well, not a big discount, but a solid discount to its industry, and it's trading well below its own median over the last year at about 17.7 times forward earnings. On top of all that, Wall Street analysts are rather high on the stock, with 11 of the 20 brokerage recommendations that Zacks has coming in at strong buys, with three more at buys, and then we have the rest sitting at holds. So no one is saying to sell the stock at the moment of the brokerage recommendations that we have. The company also announced last quarter an additional $750 million share repurchase authorization, and its dividend yield sits at a really impressive 3.1% at the moment to blow away the 30-year U.S. Treasury and the 10-year U.S. Treasury's average. And overall, the company's broader earnings positivity or earnings revisions positivity helps it land a Zacks rank number two buy at the moment. So with all that said, investors might want to consider Darden as a play for the broader economic reopening that is still happening despite some worries. And it just seems a little hard to believe that there's going to be the political will for another broad-based lockdown in the U.S., and especially given the recent spending that we've seen in October and the solid early numbers that I've seen from some places for November, that might be a solid time to consider buying Darden at these levels, especially with its solid dividend at the moment. Now we're going to move on to a totally different stock that operates a business that has nothing to do with restaurants, and that is Tempur Sealy. International, which trades in the ticker TPX. Tempur Sealy is one of the largest mattress and bedding companies in the world. It operates under the Tempur-Pedic, Sealy, and Stearns & Foster brands. The company also offers value-focused private labels and other OEM products. The Kentucky-based company sells mattresses, pillows, and more, and many of its offerings are what many consumers would probably consider higher-end brands outside of the super, super luxury bedding world. TPS also ranked number one in J.D. Power's U.S. Mattress Satisfaction Report for the second year in a row in 2020. The company's various brands, models, and sizes obviously range in prices depending on what customers are looking for. The company sells adjusted beds and mattresses that provide cooling and other high-tech capabilities to help provide better sleep. And some of its newer offerings even aim to help reduce snoring, which can obviously be detrimental to people's sleep patterns. The company, like all retailers, has invested in its digital and direct-to-consumer business to help fight back against any encroachment from digital-focused newcomers and bed-in-the-box firms like Casper and others. Of course, Tempur Sealy also owns its own stores and works with third-party retailers such as Mattress Firm. The company also, in early August, completed its acquisition of a leading specialty bed and mattress retailer in the UK, which is the company called Dreams. The company said at the time that it's expected to nearly double sales through its international segment and significantly boost its overall direct-to-consumer revenue. As we quickly mentioned already, the mattress giant posted really strong pre-pandemic growth with fiscal 2019 revenue up 15%, and its first quarter revenue of 2021 up 19%. So last year's ideal conditions driven by home buying and increased home-focused spending helped its revenue jump 19% to about $3.68 billion. And most recently, the company topped our Q3 earnings and revenue estimates in late October. So looking ahead, its full-year sales are expected to climb another 37% from about $3.68 billion all the way up to just over $5 billion, and then climb another 12% next year to about $5.6 billion. So some solid growth for the company on the top line after really big growth before the pandemic and last year as well. And then we're calling for 71% growth on the bottom line and then another 17% growth next year as well. And overall, its 2021 and 2022 earnings estimates have climbed since its most recent report. And like Darden, it's also been able to easily top our bottom line estimates over the trailing four periods with an average beat of 22%. Along with its growth, the company has rolled out initiatives aimed at returning value to shareholders. So we saw last November, the company completed a 4-for-1 stock split to help make its share price more accessible to a broader swath of investors. Management also at the time announced plans to initiate a quarterly dividend in 2021 and increase its stock buybacks, both of which it's already done. It paid a 7 cents per share dividend for the first two quarters of this year, and it's boosted its payout nearly 30% to $9 a share for a yield of about 0.86% at the moment. The company also boosted its buyback last quarter as well. And of the 9 brokerage recommendations that Zacks has for the stock, 6 are strong buys with 3 more at a hold, which has stayed at that exact level for the last 3 months. So no big changes in terms of how brokerages are thinking of the stock. Overall, TPX is up about 67% in the last year, and this easily outpaces the retail home furnishing market 52% climb. And despite that climb and outperformance, the stock's trading at 11.3 times forward 12-month earnings, which comes in below its industry's 14.3 average and well below its own highs over the last year and below its median. So some solid value there as well. Overall, the company lands a Zacks ranked number 2 buy at the moment, given its positive bottom line revisions, along with an A grade for value and an A grade for growth in our style score system. The company is also part of the retail home furnishing space, as we mentioned, that's in the top 20% of our over 250 Zacks industries at the moment. With that said, the stock dropped along with the broader market. On Tuesday, it was down 1.3% the last time I checked to about $42 per share. It's now down around 15% from its highs earlier this year, and it's trading around 34% below its current Zacks consensus price target, which obviously gives it plenty of growth runway if people are able to jump back into the stock. And it's also approaching oversold RSI levels at 33. So 30 is that oversold level, anything 30 or under. So technical traders might want to consider looking at this relatively soon, as the stock's been beaten down relatively recently along with the broader market. So Tempur Sealy is worth considering as a longer term play, especially when you consider its massive growth, and it's set to benefit continually from people willing to spend money on home improvements. The housing market is still really strong. You buy a bigger house, you need more beds, and millennials are finally driving that housing market as well. Now we're going to finish up with one more stock that got hammered during the early COVID period, but its recent growth has shown that people are willing and able to get back to their pre-pandemic lives, and that is Dave & Buster's, which trades with the ticker PLAY, P-L-A-Y. As you mentioned, the company got crushed by lockdowns, social distancing. Luckily, things have returned to normal for throughout most of the country, and the arcade and sports bar combination standout has already posted huge growth as consumers race to start to have some fun again. So the company owns and operates 143 restaurant bars, arcade hybrids in North America. If you've never heard of Dave & Buster's, quickly look it up. But yeah, it's essentially that arcade bar, watch sports, play different arcade games, video games. Their tagline is eat, drink, play, and watch. It posted solid revenue growth since it went public in 2014. And obviously the coronavirus put a halt to a ton of its business seemingly overnight, as it did with casinos and concert venues and other in-person entertainment. The company's revenue tumbled 68% in FY20 from $1.36 billion to just $437 million. So obviously it was crushed during the pandemic, but the pandemic is now seemingly in Dave & Buster's rear view amid rising vaccination rates and massive U.S. economic reopening. Its first quarter revenue jumped 66% with some of its locations still closed or under restrictions. The entertainment company's operations had then mostly returned to normal by the start of Q2, with all of its locations, including one new spot, opened by the end of last quarter, which ended on August 1st. So overall, Dave & Buster's second quarter sales skyrocketed 640% from the year-ago period, which is obviously really easy to compare against. But this also topped its pre-pandemic total by over 30 million. So that shows just how much people were ready to get back to Dave & Buster's and have a good time. The company's $1.07 per share adjusted earnings also crushed their EPS estimate by 88%. The strong showing is part of a recent stretch of huge bottom line beats, with a 200% average beat in the trailing four quarters. Zach's estimates call for Dave & Buster's third quarter revenue to soar 193%. To help it swing from an adjusted loss of about $1 a share all the way up to positive 10 cents per share. Overall, its 2021 revenue is projected to climb 211% to match its pre-pandemic total of $1.36 billion. And it's expected to report $2.24 a share in adjusted earnings versus a loss of $4.70 per share last year. It's then expected to follow up this huge comeback with 25% higher earnings next year, and then another 17% stronger revenue, which would mark its best top-line growth as a public firm, obviously aside from this year, which was easy to compare against. Plus, its longer-term positive earnings revisions help it land a Zacks rank number one strong buy right now. So helping this broader backdrop, U.S. consumers are flexing their muscles despite rising prices. We saw U.S. retail sales jump a seasonally adjusted 1.7% in October versus November. That topped expectations and is possibly a good sign, as we've sort of mentioned at the top, of more good things to come throughout the holiday shopping period. We'll see what any of this new variant ends up actually happening, but so far, so good, and maybe it's just a chance to sell, as we mentioned. So despite Dave & Buster's strong growth outlook and the broader hunger among many U.S. consumers to spend heavily in the face of inflation, the company's shares are down significantly from their highs in March. Some could be blame could be placed on the fact that it did soar off those COVID lows and climbed after the initial vaccine news. Investors should also know that Dave & Buster's CEO announced his retirement in September, and the firm is still in the process of finding his non-interim replacement. And you should also note, if you're considering the stock, that it's rather heavily shorted at the moment at around 12% of the float. And it recently, like some of our other stocks, fell below its moving averages of 50 and 200 a day. It was stuck in between a channel there. So obviously, that's not the best sign if you're a technical trader, but its current Zacks consensus price target of $51 per share represents 60% upside to its current levels, and even more before it returns to where it was in 2017 and 18, which was over $65 a share. So if the company is able to impress Wall Street, and if people are able to see that the growth as people continue to dive back into the stores, Dave & Buster's might be a solid longer-term play heading into December and beyond. And it trades at a huge discount compared to its industry at 12.3 times forward 12-month earnings versus its industry's 27.2 times average. The recent selling has also just sent it actually below oversold RSI levels of 30 at 28.8. So technical traders might already be deciding it's time to jump back into Dave & Buster's stock. That said, if you're a little nervous about some of these technical levels and the shorting position, maybe give it a chance to bounce back before you consider diving in. But overall, it's worth considering at the moment. It's a Zacks ranked number one strong buy stock, and 6 of the 9 brokerage recommendations that Zacks has are sitting at strong buys. So that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.